After weeks of following the headlines and violence unfolding in the uprising in Libya, four New York Times journalists working in East Libya suddenly found themselves in the headlines. They were captured and held by pro-Gaddafi forces for days.
We were being dragged out of a car at gunpoint at a checkpoint, and these people were punching and kicking and groping our woman colleagues.
This was the first time in my life I've had a man look me in the eye and punch me in the face, especially when I was bound, hands and feet. And the second time I was punched, I was also blindfolded.
The voices of Stephen Farrell and Lindsay Addario, two of the journalists who were detained, Anthony Shadid and photographer Tyler Hicks, were also in their company. Hicks joins us now. He's a photographer for our partner, The New York Times. Tyler, glad to hear you're home safe. Thanks for joining us.
Great, thanks.
Tyler, once you were in the custody of Gaddafi forces, how did you interact with these people who had become your kidnappers?
Well, there wasn't a whole lot of interaction because we weren't really allowed to speak very much. The first 3 days was pretty violent. At the moment that we were pulled out of our vehicle, the opposition soldiers who we had just been with moments earlier attacked the checkpoint that was actually taking us. So we were in a really unusual and very frightening situation there, where we had government soldiers pointing their guns in our faces and yelling at us, and at that same moment coming under very accurate attack from opposition soldiers. So throughout the next 3 days, we were just, our hands were bound, we were blindfolded, often not permitted to speak.
So you were taken to Tripoli from Ajdabiya, right?
Correct. We spent one night, I think the worst night, right where we were captured, in fact, and on the front line with government soldiers as they were attacked throughout the night. We were, had our hands bound, and at some point our hands and our feet bound during this. So throughout the night, as we were held in this area, which actually didn't have any cover, we would come under fire but not be able to really get down or do anything because we were tied up.
What's that like? You're lying there. You're bound, hands and feet. You're hearing bullets. Are you just waiting for one to hit you?
Yes. In fact, I managed to pull my hands free, which were tied behind my back, and untie an electrical cord, which was holding my ankles together, and dive out of a truck and down onto the pavement because we were under direct fire from opposition forces at this time. The moment that I hit the pavement, one of the government soldiers who was, who were holding us, pointed his weapon at me and started to scream at me. So I essentially was under attack from two places at the same time. But under all circumstances, where I was just trying to communicate to the soldiers who only spoke Arabic that I wasn't trying to escape. I was just trying to get low. And the others were in the same situation as well, begging to just be allowed to stay down instead of sitting straight up in the back of a truck where they had propped us.
So, Tyler Hicks, we were always told, as we monitored your condition and tried to figure out your whereabouts, and your colleagues at the New York Times were very careful to say, that the Libyan government had promised that no harm would come to you, that under no circumstances would anything but your release be expected here. We got the impression that you were definitely under the custody of responsible parties. Did you ever have that feeling?
Well, when we reached Tripoli, We were really, at that point, all of us were pretty broken at that point. We hadn't slept for 3 days. We hadn't eaten more than just a handful of rice that was given to us in a jail in Sirte, and it really had very little water to drink. Throughout this whole ordeal, had been harassed, threatened, and hit. So when we reached finally this building at the defense ministry in Tripoli, there were some people who came who were being friendly, and they brought us some milk and water and apples and things like that, and said that we weren't going to be mistreated anymore. They kept their promise. I mean, we were essentially still prisoners there, but we were treated well there, and they did keep their promise, and we were released.
You know, you weren't able to use your trusty camera during this period of time. I'm wondering if in your mind's eye there's an image that would be the emblem at least in your memory, for this entire experience?
Well, I think that just the rare glimpses that we saw of the government front line, the real front line, and seeing these soldiers who looked equally as disorganized and equally as scared, really, as the opposition soldiers. And this is something that, you know, when you're going into a place and you're getting beaten back, you know, with, as we were with the opposition fighters, you always imagine this much greater force on the other side of the hill. But really what we encountered wasn't much more than what the opposition had, but it's just that the government has some more heavy equipment like tanks and armored personnel carriers and that kind of thing. But really, these soldiers are real thugs.
Do you think about your driver who's still missing?
Absolutely. The last time I saw my driver was as he was sitting next to me in the car at the moment that we hit this checkpoint. Within seconds, we were in a hail of gunfire, and people were running in all directions. The driver has not been seen since. We now have people on the ground in Libya working closely with Libyan officials and with the driver's family, trying to figure out what happened with the driver.
Anything you would have done differently, going back over the moments before you were in the custody of these soldiers?
I'd like to say that I would have asked more questions to more of the locals along the way out of town that would have alerted us to this, that the fact that there were government soldiers there. Although people didn't really know what was going on and things were happening so quickly, the disorganization and kind of the mayhem that was happening at that time really indicated that they had just arrived on the scene. They were very nervous.
So from being a very unlucky man, Tyler Hicks, you've become lucky.
Yes, yes.
Well, best of luck to you.
Thank you very much.
Tyler Hicks, photographer for our partner, The New York Times, safe and home in New York City.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.